I'm going to read two scriptures. The first one is from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 3. And the other one is going to come from Hebrews chapter 13. Let's first hear the word of God from Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 14 through to the end, actually. Dear people, as you know, this is the word of God, so let us hear it and hear it well. Once again, Genesis chapter 3, beginning verse 14, and the Lord said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be towards thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall I bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And there's here now the New Testament from Hebrews chapter 13, reading verses 1 through 8. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Consider the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. All God's people say, Amen. Once again, Lord, we are here. We thank you for this day, a day that thou hast made for us to rejoice and be glad in all the day long through worship. We pray thee, O God, that thou would bless our evening service now, the word read and preached, and the sacrament. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Fifth century BC Greek philosopher Parmenides observed and concluded, all is flux. Everything changes, goes through a change. Sometimes it takes a long time, like a star. Our sun, for example, it's anticipated to live or exist before it explodes for 10 billion years. Half its life has passed already, according to some scientists. Sounds funny, but we have another 5 billion years to go, should the Lord tarry quite a bit. Who knows where we'd be by then. Anyway, probably on some alien world, according to them. But everything changes. Everything in this world, everything in the universe is constantly in flux, constantly changing. Sometimes, much of the time, it's imperceptible, but sometimes it's immediate. But we know of one who does not change, will never change, and that is Jesus Christ. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Our first parents, they were placed in paradise, perfect place. They were sinless. They were, for all intents and purposes, they were one with God, right with God, and they were going to remain that way forever and ever. But as you know, that changed, didn't it, for them? They partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as I pointed out before, but it gets confusing, I think, because a lot of people misunderstand. They knew good from right from wrong. They knew good from evil. They knew it was good to obey God. They knew it was evil to disobey Him. They knew that. But when the Scripture says they wanted to be like God, knowing good for evil, that means they wanted to determine what was right and wrong. They wanted to determine what was good and what was evil, much like society today is doing. And that's the rebellion from long ago. That was Adam and Eve's first rebellious, terrible sin. That they wanted to be like God, that they wanted to determine for themselves what was right from what was wrong. And as a result, all sin, that's the sin, I put it, gave a little symbol there, the tree of Adam, the sinful root of Adam's and Eve's first sin, from which every other sin springs on the tree. And we're all branches, and we manifest the different sins, sin differently, but we're all the same. Despicable sinners, terrible by nature, totally depraved. Could be nothing else. But there's this promise that He gave in Genesis 3, verse 15 that you heard just a moment ago. He said that, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, speaking to the serpent, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, or crush thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that's, of course, anticipation of Jesus Christ on the cross and Satan being defeated by Christ at the cross. Of course, the resurrection proved that. So that was the promise of Christ, and that was something that was longed for. The Hebrews of old understood that that's speaking of Messiah, and so they looked ahead. Our first parents forsook every blessing of paradise. But it wasn't just for themselves. It was for all posterity. Because all of us were in the loins of Adam and Eve. And they turned away from that. But there's a twofold seed here. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, there's the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. The seed of the woman are those who have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, but in time manifest themselves as the children of God. We have fallen in as the elect of God. We have fallen as the seed of the woman. We have fallen into the arms of Christ. And because of that, we are secure. Our salvation is secure because that is what he brings to his people, to the seed of the woman. The promise of salvation, the promise of rescue, the promise of defeating the evil one for our sake. And we benefit from that. And the promise that is made in Hebrews 13, that I will be thy God forever and ever. I am with thee, I will never forsake thee. I will be thy God and thy God of thy seed after thee. That was a promise that God made to Abraham, by the way. The Church of the Shadows, as it's called, because before Christ it was shadows. It was types. It was figures that pointed ahead. And they looked through sort of a veil, a curtain, to see what they could see about the promise. Abraham longed to see the day, as Jesus pointed out, longed to see my day. We know that Jacob, awaiting Shiloh, which is Messiah, sighed, I have waited for thy salvation, Lord. Job found comfort in this. I know that my Redeemer lives. None of them, as Hebrews 11 points out, none of them received the fruition of the promise. They saw the promise far ahead. It was far ahead of them. But they longed for that promise. In fact, we see here in the scriptures, we read about they did not receive the promise, but the poets sang of it. The types and the shadows pointed to it. The prophets spoke of it in ever clearer language. Parents named their children Hosea, Joshua, Isaiah, all of which mean Jehovah saves. Looking ahead to Messiah. They named their children in this way, Jehovah saves. For the hope of salvation for all the saints was the hope of a deliverer coming. And that deliverer would be, of course, Jesus Christ. For in the fullness of time, Jesus was born of a virgin, Mary, and laid in a manger. The angels announced to the shepherds the glad tidings, and the promise was being fulfilled in their hearing. This day in the city, unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The scripture gives us a full account of Jesus' ministry, of his suffering, of his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. And today the gospel goes out into all the earth, gathering the elect from the four quarters, if you will. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is a complete Savior. There is no other name under heaven by which a man, a woman, a boy, or girl may be saved. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of Christ, who never changes. The Word never changes. The will of God doesn't change. We change. And sometimes we mistake that we mistakenly think that God changes, that God changes his mind, that God changes direction, that God has to modify plans. But that's not so. From the beginning, he planned it this way, so that the name of Jesus would be Savior, Savior of all. Adam and Eve were never meant to live forever in the first paradise. They had to fall because salvation is only of the Lord. Man, even in paradise, could not save himself. He had to be saved through Jesus Christ. Now, we're living in the 21st century, and that's, I mean, I guess if the 22nd century comes along or the 23rd century, we'd be able to say, well, what a blessing it is to live in the 22nd century or the 23rd century. But we're living in the 21st century, and there have been a lot of changes that have taken place. I think it used to be where our grandparents, or certainly our great-grandparents, would have to shovel coal into the oven and for heat. Now we have furnaces that we can switch on and off. Now, we don't even have to go to the thermostat. We have the smart device that we can use on our phone and just, you know, press a couple of things and turn the furnace up, turn the air conditioner on, off, whatever. In this COVID-19 thing that happened in the past year and still to this day, a lot of people have found out, corporations and people, that they could work at home through a computer, smartphone, whatever, that most of their job, much of their job, could be accomplished at home. We have seen great accomplishments in changes happening in medicine. Many of us have been beneficiaries of it, right? Been able to change hip replacements and knee replacements, sometimes organs replaced. Certainly many different things that medicine provides that give us comfort, help us. Not every one of us is helped all the time, but there's much help there in medicine. How about travel? Oh, yeah, we can travel in our cars. It's supposed to keep the speed limit, 60, 65, 70, whatever it is. But in a plane, you're traveling over 500 miles an hour in some cases, maybe more. And we want to go faster, right? We want to build rockets that go faster. Take us to the moon for vacation. And there is and of course there's the communications. That's a big, there can be something happening right now on the other side of the world. And when we come home tonight and turn on the news or turn on the television, we can hear about it. The whole world has been brought into our homes through the communications that we have. So there's much. And what's happened is there's a saying the world has, this world boasts, that what we can imagine, we can also do. Yet, their way is a dead end. It is a dead end road. For God has written over all man's works, and now his woke. Apart from Christ, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. All is vanity. It's all going to be burned. It's all going to be ashes. And out of those ashes will rise the church of Jesus Christ. And the new paradise will be developed. Everything is going to be gone except us. And the new heavens and new earth will appear. The unchangeable Christ, as the song says, is the rock of ages. Jesus, his first name is his personal name. And it means, like Hosea or Isaiah, Jehovah saves. Christ is his position, his authority. He is the Messiah. He is the second person of the Holy Trinity. His word is the only revelation of God on the planet. Pure revelation of God on the planet. There is none other. And he is revealed throughout his word. Yes, even in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it speaks of him. And he stands foremost in eternity in the eternal counsel of God forever. He is the firstborn of all creatures. By him, all things were made. He is the creator, along with the Father, along with the Spirit, the Trinity. He is the creator. All things were created by him and for him and moved towards him. They find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. We, his people, have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of all our sin, and we have the right now. We have the right of eternal life. Eternal life, which has already begun in us through faith. But will be revealed more completely to us in the days ahead. Through his sacrifice, his death and his resurrection, he has conquered the powers of darkness, Satan, sin, and death. It's all been conquered. And for us. His name is the name above all names, in heaven and on earth, that every knee should bow and tongue confess, and will, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All power is given to him in heaven and in earth. Every creature that stirs moves according to his plan, according to his plan for the coming of the kingdom. Everything is moving in that direction. Everything is moving towards the fruition of his plan and purpose. He even uses the powers of darkness, the evil ones, the people that are sinners, the reprobate, the ones that hate. He even uses them. The plans of the king are turned by the Lord. That includes prime ministers and presidents as well. Nothing is beyond his scope. Nothing is outside of his plan. Everything gels together and comes together and is going according to the plan and purpose of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change his plan. And nothing can make that change. He's the same. He doesn't modify. There is no plan B. The Apostle Paul warns, and other scriptures as well, there is this warning that there are perilous times coming. Jesus talked about that before he left, right? Wars and rumors of wars, pestilences, famines, earthquakes, so on. But we see that things are crumbling, like a cement wall starting to crumble, falling apart. We see that in the family. There are many broken households. Many, many families are broken. The children are often raised by another. Many households, the people have to go out to work. They fend off their children to daycares and other people they think they can trust to raise them well. God is banished everywhere, even in our society now. Even in some churches, the true God is banished. The true gospel, the truth, is not there. But men determine for themselves, as I said before, as we saw in Genesis chapter 3, and Genesis chapters 1 and 2 as well, that man has decided what is best for him. He determines what is right from what is wrong, what is good from what is evil. And so there is this, what do you want to call it in our society now and in Europe and other places throughout the world, this doctrine of promiscuity. Broken homes, broken hearts, broken households. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage for any and every reason. Now there's homosexual marriage, there's transgenderism, there's a gender identity, take your pick, like Baskin-Robbins, 32 flavors, whatever you want. This is an indication that something's going on. And it's not an accident. God has given them over to their sin. As Paul says in Romans chapter 1, he has given them up and over, placed them on the stream with a forceful current leading in the direction of perdition. How about violence and crime? Talk about an epidemic. In some of our cities, in our beautiful country, the country we love, we should love, this crime, violence, and not only against one another, but against the police, hatred, against people that are trying to protect you and keep things sensible and reasonable and safe. What's it? Is it crazy or something? Is that maddening? Is there a madness upon us? Is there some sort of insanity that has gripped, some sort of pathology that has gripped many? And I've spoken to you on a number of about apostasy, departing from the faith, and heresies, people trying to have others follow them rather than Christ. It's all over the place. That's why we're such sticklers for doctrine here. We have a standard, and we have a book of order, they're subordinate to the Bible. They're not the Word of God, but they're based on the Word of God, based on the Scriptures for a reason. We want to protect the people of God through our confessions and our catechisms from going astray, because it's out there and many have gone astray, have lost their way. The measure of iniquity is, the cup of iniquity is filling up so that there are devastations upon devastations upon devastations that are here among us, and they keep on coming, right? COVID-19 is just one of them. It's not an accident. I mean, it may have been a lab accident, but it's God. It's in God's plan. There are still wars and rumors of wars. There is famine and pestilence and fire and tsunamis and floods all over the place. They're not ending. There's global warming. The world's going to end, and according to some of these politicians, and now it's about 9 years left we have. And the world ends because of global warming. Well, let's just say that, give them the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, there is such a thing as global, and there are such a thing as global warming. And, it's terrible, and it's going to get worse and worse. But the way to fix it is not change your Ford 150 from a gas-guzzling monster to an electric one. That'll save you. That'll save others. That'll save the planet. No, it won't. Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's because of sin that these things are happening. God is screaming out louder and louder in our age that this world is under judgment because of sin and rebellion against Him. It started in the garden, and it continues to this day. The solution is not to hug a tree. The solution is to hug Christ, to come to Christ. Rock of ages, cleft for me, and let me hide myself in thee. The unchangeable Christ, the unchangeable refuge. He's a refuge for everyone who comes to him in faith. And a total refuge. He doesn't change. He doesn't change his mind or his purpose because, well, Peter, you're not as nice, or you're not as kind, or you're not as gentle, you're not as holy, or you're not as smart, or you're not as Phil is. No. It's the refuge for us all. It doesn't change his thoughts towards you and me. You're his child, his son, his daughter, forever and ever. Do not think of God in human terms. He's not human. Erasmus, said Luther, your thoughts about God are too human. And that church to this day is like that. They think of God as a human. It's too human. We belong to him forever and ever. We are part of God's family, his sons and daughters, heirs of salvation and eternal life. When our Lord returns, what does John say? We shall be like him. We shall partake of the divine nature as much as is humanly possible. Remember I said, we don't become divine like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the only divine. Angels are not divine. Only God's divine. But we partake of that nature as much as humanly possible. Dwelling in God's house, we shall be filled with his glory in ever-increasing abundance and measure, so that we move from glory to a richer and fuller and greater glory. From glory to glory. This is our future. And it's already begun. Embrace him. Embrace his word. Live by his word. Meditate upon it. Let it instruct you in your quiet moments. Get in tune with it. It doesn't change. It's stability. It's comfort, it's peace. And remember what he says, no matter what the situation, how crazy the world may get, how many changes that happen in your life and in the lives of the ones that you love, I am with you and I will never forsake you. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. My mind is made up towards you. And it will not change. No matter what happens, no matter how terrible all things may seem to be or to get, he is our helper, and I will not fear, as we read here, what man may do to me. That's the great dilemma of a lot of people, Christians included. Especially Christians. There's two kinds of fear. And we have to live by one of them. And many people, Christians, live according to the fear of men. The fear of what people will think about you, what they'll say about you, what they'll do to you. Fear of man. And it's a very, you know, it's a reasonable thing. I mean, all of us know what it is because we have that fear. It's by nature we have that fear. But the fear that we're supposed to live by is the fear of God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can stand? I will not fear what man may do or say or think about me. By nature, I do. And I fail. But I need to fear God. And the more I fear the Lord, and understand what that fear is, and I'm going to preach a sermon on that sometime in the future about the fear of God. It's big. But if you don't fear God, you don't love him. The more you fear God, the more you love Him. That's the way it works. And the more and the less the fear of man will grip you. The more you fear God, the less you'll have of the fear of man. Our eternal security rests in the changelessness of Jesus Christ. To the praise of His glory and grace, may we get to know Him even better than now we do. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Your Word is truth. Your Word is solid. Your revelation to us, Your dear people, is so wonderful. And we are, we bask in the sunlight of it. We really do. When in our better moments, our better days, when we are focused on Your Word and on Your ways, when we're in prayer and all that, it just sets the soul soaring. Heavenly Father, continue to bless us through Your Spirit and Your Word, bringing us closer and closer, molding and shaping us more and more into the image of Thy dear Son, as we look into the mirror of Thy Word, being shaped in the image of Thy dear Son, in righteousness, in holiness, and in knowledge. In His name we pray. Glory be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.